There you go. I mean, there's lots of reasons why. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I didn't know that left side of the little driveway that goes in there for the place drops off like 3 foot.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I blame it on the Lord's creation too. It was gorgeous tonight. Oh man. Well, I'm glad we got people we can send. So thanks, Brother Tom. Thanks, Brother Harvey and Nolan and Aiden and whoever else. So Hebrews chapter 7 tonight. Hebrews chapter 7. Listening to a number of senators speak today, they were just talking about some of the different things. Apparently, they think there's going to be an attack on the Capitol tomorrow, so nobody's going to go to work. They talk about believing in conspiracy theories, and they all, back in the day, March 4 used to be Inauguration Day, so they think tomorrow's the day, so everybody's good. Anyways. Certain senators went home. Certain representatives went home. We'll just say that. Well, no. So nobody's read this bill yet. Nobody's read it. Nobody's even got it yet. So when they get these bills, they go through a scoring committee, and they kind of get an idea of what's in them. Nobody's read it yet. And so one of the provisions is you got to have the clerk read it. Well, things like 700 pages or whatever. That's one of the two bills. So the clerk has to read this thing and all the proposed amendments. So it's going to take forever, but they're all taking the day off. So it's going to take a while. Everybody I've heard said, no way. So they just can't name the Democrats yet who are going to say no, but they're pretty sure they know who it's going to be. Brother Don, go ahead.
You heard about the one where they were going to get felons, right?
Yeah, in prison. While they're in prison.
Well, that's right. Yeah. While they're in prison. Marjorie Taylor Greene, they were just going to do a voice on that. And she said, no, we're going to do a roll vote on that, a roll call, where you had to actually.
Sure.
And that, according to her newsletter, she feels that that was instrumental in not having that part of it.
Yeah. There's things getting scrapped left and right, but. That's just insane, the amount of money. It's just incredible. I mean, 500, what's the number up to now for the fencing and the security? Michigan's National Guard still there. It's insane how much money since the 7th.
There's 5,000 National Guards that are on alert for 30 different states.
Half $1 billion. I mean, I think it's $500 million. I think so. I heard. I was trying to remember, but I was thinking, no, it's too big. No, it was. It was a ridiculous amount of money. It was like, mercy sakes, mercy. But I just think about calling some of these guys and just encouraging them, saying, stay in the fight. You know, you guys from different states. I thought about that now. I called Joe Manchin's office, saying, come on, man, help us out. Help us out. So we'll remember you. We'll remember in a few years. So. It's mercy. It's just impressive to see what hate can do. It's just Hebrews 7 tonight. Hebrews 7. The word of the Lord to encourage us. Last week we'd gotten down through verse 10. We're looking at this this name of Melchizedek, this name that was given to a showing, a picture. There's different names in Bible study. Christophanies, one of them, where it talks about Christ appearings in the Old Testament. There's different names for it. But it's a real person, flesh and blood, stood before Abraham. Wasn't like a, you know, some sort of hologram image that popped up out in the middle of the desert. It wasn't a day. Wasn't faint. And I thought I saw something, and it was this king doing stuff for me. No, it was real. He's really there. The Bible gives the clues here, and that's what we went through last week, was looking at the clues about Melchizedek. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll just review real briefly, and then we'll carry on and make some application tonight. Father, we love you. We do thank you for your grace. Lord, we do thank you that we're still here preaching the gospel, Father, in this country you've given us, Lord, and we thank you so much. It's a place where we're able to do that. So many places in the world that are not able to meet publicly and do it, but praise the Lord for those that meet quietly and do it, Father, in secret place. Lord, by need, and we just ask that you'd bless those that are serving, Lord, as missionaries in our foreign lands tonight. Father, pray that you would bless all the meetings that go on tonight, lifting up your name. And Lord, we thank you so much for safety, getting our church folk here tonight. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We see here in verse number 1, for this Melchizedek. And then it says in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. We talked about that a little bit last week, was the teaching for tithes, law first mentioned in the scriptures. When you're reading through the Bible, you see something mentioned for the very first time, puts a huge weight. It's like precedent. When we hear, we've heard a lot about law and about court cases and judges and all kinds of stuff in the last year. You say, well, there's precedent for this. There's precedent for this in the scriptures. You want to look for that. I mean, you want to see that. Where did it first happen? Where did Satan first challenge the word of God? Well, he did it in our nation's government. He did it clear back in the book of Genesis, right? Yea, have God said, really short, but to cast doubt on the word of God and what God has done to make people doubt God's word. One of the Florida senators today, he might have been one of the representatives. I was trying to remember his name so I could share it tonight. But he was using scripture reference on the House floor and was called down by one of the members saying he didn't want to hear that. And he said, says right up there, in God we trust. So he thought it was applicable. But it's important. There's a lot of people that want to cause others to doubt the word of God. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And we can see through the different clues that it's talking about the Lord. Without father, without mother, verse 3 says, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Nor end of life we're going to talk about tonight, because he is a priest. He's a priest. And when we look back in the Old Testament, if you were to quiz, let's say you quiz our teenagers, getting ready for youth rally, and said, all right, you name the Old Testament, the Israeli tribe that all the priests came from. Well, that's the tribe of Levi, and everybody get it right. And said, all right, how about the most important priest in the Old Testament? Well, it's got to be Aaron, because he was the got to be right, but if you said tribe of Judah, you'd throw them all for a loop, and they'd have to know that you're talking about right here at Melchizedek. You say, well, why is he so important? One of the things tonight we'll talk about is no end of life, no beginning, no end. And it again, goes back to precedent. You look back and say, well, this is the most important, the tribe of Levi. Well, if we look at before that, if we look at Melchizedek, see, well, what did he stand for? And then we see that there's a precedent there that something is better. Remember, one of our themes for the book of Hebrews is better. Verse 7 says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. We talked about Melchizedek coming and giving. What did he give to Abraham? What are the two things we talked about that were symbolic? I don't mean to treat you like a classroom wrestle and see if you remember. Two things that he gave to Abraham that represent the Lord Jesus that he gave him. Gave him bread and wine. Yep, that's it. Gave him bread and wine. Why? Jesus is the bread of life. And they're doing John 15 tonight. He says, I'm the vine. And same thing in the Lord's supper is a picture. Those are the things he gave him. What did Abraham give to Melchizedek? And it wasn't a payment. He wasn't paying him for the bread and wine. The Bible says he gave him a tenth part, right? Gave him a tithe of all. Verse 7 says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It means that Melchizedek blessed Abram, blessed him. And we know that Abraham was blessed. We read through the covenant that God made with him. If you ever, you get in and study. Sometimes, we're driving in tonight, and we're listening to the last CD of the Rush CDs that we have of the history thing, and he's in a classroom setting, and the kids are in there, and the principal, he's a substitute teacher, and the kid's in the back. The principal walks out. He's like, that kid in the back row gives you a hard time. Send him to my office. There's a history of this kid, this kid pops off, and And he looks at him and kid starts picking up his books. He says, "Aren't you going to send me the principal's office?" He's like, "No." He said, "You'd miss out on the best history class you've ever seen." I told my wife, I said, "Most history classes are boring." I said, "Not that history is boring. It's just the person that's teaching it is boring." I'm sorry, Mr. Jim Petrie, if you're listening to my listening tonight, but Lord help us, man. Some of them, I had an ex-CIA guy in college, Dr. Kieswitter, wore the same sport coat, brought a watch. He wore a watch and he brought a watch. He'd walk in, he'd have his Manila folder. He'd walk in like this, set it down, take his watch. "Well, hello." And then every day, I mean, with just every day. And it was, you know, it was my first semester. You know, I was taking, Canada doing Western Ham or something. And I thought, this guy. And then my brother did political science after me. And he said, "You ever go to his office?" I'm like, "No." "Why would you ever want to go to his office? His office is a closet, I guarantee it. It's like 3x3. And it's got one watch that hangs on a little push thumbtack in it." "No," he said, "there's all kinds of stuff." He said, he's a linguist. He knows languages. He's been all over the world. I said, "Wow, that's impressive." Good cover, but as boring as can be. The history that we have, the history, the less is blessed of the better. Here, men that die receive tithes. What's it talking about there? Okay, the priests that are in Levi. Now, remember, they all came from who? They all came from Abraham. So when we look at the Abrahamic covenant, when we look at the Levitical priesthood, that's all inside Abraham. Say, "Well, what's the big deal about that? Jesus Christ didn't come from Abraham." That's what's important. So say, "Well, we're Abraham. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Or sons of Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, right?" And it's fun. I haven't sung that in forever. And we went to the last youth rally in town and sang that, and haven't sang that forever. "I'm from Abraham." Well, are we from Jesus? What does Jesus have to say? Outside of Abraham, no beginning, no end. The Bible tells us that Abraham didn't bless Melchizedek. That'd be one thing, right? When you ask for a blessing from somebody, you're usually getting it from the better person. I mean, I don't ask my children to bless me, but I have loved to bless my children. I wanted to bless Sam last night. He had his tooth pushed out. I mean, it's like sticking. "Kid, just pull it out. It hurts." I got a lot of tools in the garage that would make this really easy. Most of the time, I'm not patient enough to sit through it all. I mean, Brother Dave, I was a good father. I was like half an hour, man. I stood in the bathroom and Sam would be on the stool. "Oh, it hurts." We did that back and pretty soon we finally got it. I said, "Oh, it's coming." And he was afraid of swallowing the thing, you know, because sometimes you can rock it back. Now I can see his little tooth in behind it, you know. It wants it out of there. Get it out. We'll pop it out. It's like, "Yeah." I made a big old deal about it. And I look at his teeth. I'm like, "Oh, man, that one hasn't come out." I said, "You got work to do, kid. You got a few that haven't come out yet. But I don't ask him to bless me. I bless him, right? Because I'm his dad." And so Melchizedek's the one that blessed Abraham. It's not the other way around. The less is blessed of the better. And the Bible says, verse 8, "And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that" what? "He liveth," the Bible says. Not dead. He's not dead like all the other Levitical priests. And verse 9 says, "And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, payeth tithes." Paid tithes in Abraham, right? And Melchizedek didn't have to pay any tithes. He just received them and he gave blessings. Why? Because he's the high priest. It's the Lord Jesus. He's at the top. 10, "For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." He's talking about all the Levitical priests. They all came out of Abraham. Melchizedek didn't. They said, "Well, who's the priest of the priests?" He is. He's a priest. He's a high priest forever. And it says, "after the order of Melchizedek." And it keeps mentioning it over and over and again. And it said, "Well, what's the big deal? There's only one priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one that is the King of Salem. There is only one that is the King of Peace. There's just one." So it's a really big deal. Anytime somebody gets hung up on the Old Testament, I mean, you talk to Adventists, you talk to some people, and when you first start talking to them, you're like, oh man, these people are, and then they all start getting weird. This stuff starts sounding strange. It's like, man, I don't remember a preacher talking about that. I don't remember that in Sunday school. It's like, what is that? They get in the Old Testament, and they get stuff twisted up, and they get stuff goofy and weird, and they have this combination of New Testament grace and Old Testament law. It's just, it's confusing, and it's bad doctrine, and it's bad teaching. They say, well, look, if they were that important, right, they'd have an order higher than Melchizedek, and they don't, and they don't. This is a great teacher. You get somebody that is messed up in those things. They just ask them about Melchizedek. Ask them about this order. I said, well, they all came out of Abraham. They all had to be blessed. What about receiving the blessing from God? What about receiving salvation from God? Abraham didn't do anything to make Melchizedek better, but the other way around. The Bible says here in verse number 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So Melchizedek, the Bible says, he had no beginning and he has no end. So he shows up in Genesis to Abraham. Right? But who was it really? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. But in between was the tribe of Levi. Right? It was the picture. Why? Jesus wasn't going to be there. He could have done whatever he'd wanted to, but wouldn't it have been something, you know, to have the same priest for thousands of years and have everybody, you know, 70 and you got the same guy? I mean, it just, I don't know. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but he didn't. But he's here, and then there's another one coming here, but it's still the Lord Jesus. So even when he came the second time, you could still say the same thing about him that is said here. The Bible says, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So if the priests of the tribe of Levi, if everything was perfect, why would you need another? Why would you need the Lord to come? I mean, if they could forgive sin and everything would be perfect, why would you need the Lord? Again, it was a picture then of the Levitical priesthood. Again, Jesus, the Bible says, he did not come to condemn the law. He came to fulfill it. The pictures, all of it. He didn't come to destroy it. Didn't come to call it bad. He fulfills it. Verse 12 says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. What tribe's the Lord from? Judah, right? No priests in that tribe, right? That's what I'm saying. You could get people trivially, and I don't like those kind of people. Cause trivial stuff you're not thinking about, and one nerd out there is thinking about, and they ask a question and try to make you feel small, and I just like, oh. There wasn't a tribe represented there that was from Judah, not for the priest. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Well, hang it all on Moses. Got to go back past that. Got to go back past it. And this isn't anything that Moses didn't know. He's credited with the Pentateuch. So the first five books, it said Moses put them down. People would be doing pilgrimages to Moses' grave if we knew where it was at. I mean, Moses is profound. He would be a, you know, one of the reasons why. I mean, nobody knows. It's not a knock on Moses or any of those things. He knew these things. But people would say, well, we're from Moses. We're following Moses. Follow the oldest guy you can, the one that's got the most precedent, the one that's got all the most credit, all these things. You follow him. Well, go back before him, right? Go back before that. The Bible says in verse number 15, it is yet far more evident that for after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Right? Well, we bring that sacrifice for sin, that perfect animal, and they were fulfilling exactly what God wanted them to do. But when you compare an animal that's spotless to to the Lamb of God that is spotless, there's no comparison there. We have this sacrifice, and then we have this sacrifice that is an endless life. Life doesn't end here. Which one do you want to cover you? I want endless life. That's what I would choose. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment. Verse 17 says, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling. Disannulling means to make void, right? Get a check somewhere and got to void it. You call and void that thing, and somebody gets it and think, oh boy, I'm entitled to everything that's written on this. But, oh, sorry, that one's been voided. Oh, not worth anything. Okay, so one comes and replaces, or one comes and makes another void. The Bible says there is a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And some people say, well, why did they even do it? Why did they even do it? You think God could look down at people's hearts and say, these people are doing what I asked them to do and they're obeying? Or, well, this is what we do. Why do we do it? I don't know. We just do it, right? Christmas and Easter, every year. This is what we do, you know? And they have no reason why they. There's no, I was listening to, so I've been listening to Newsmax. Like, I've really been impressed with a lot of programs throughout the day, different things. They're not all like Christians like we're Christians, right? Some of a lot of Catholic stuff in there, and they're talking about Lent, and they got Father so-and-so on, and Father so-and-so. And even the Catholic priests are saying, look, it's not about keeping score. It's not about what you're giving up. He said, we want you to think about the Lord. I said, good. That's good. I mean, that's good. But so much of it is, well, can I, because they're asking silly questions, you know. If I do this for 5 days, can I cheat on this day? And can I do this or that? You're thinking like, we're missing it, right? We're missing it. It's just like dieting, you know. It's like, got to have my cheat day. And if it wasn't for that, you'd never sell one, you know. It's like, where's the day where I can do what I want? Well, hey, when it comes to Lord Jesus, he wants us to think of him. And the Bible says here, there was a weakness and an unprofitableness. It doesn't mean that it was bad or it was wrong. It's just saying, look, God could look down at the heart and say, look, this is what I want you to do. And it's all pictures of the Lord. The way the Hebrews set up their camp was a picture. The way the tabernacle was set up was a picture. All the tools are pictures. They're all representative things. When they're broken in the Old Testament, that's Satan just like putting a cigarette butt out on the Lord's forehead type of thing. I mean, it's just dirty. It's just like just trying to rub something in their face. King, a priest, a high priest, somebody that was supposed to take care of the sacrifice, and they're destroying the instruments of God. God's like, I want you to do this. I want you to raise your children, teach your children. I mean, think about it in Deuteronomy 6 where he says, I want you to teach your children about me, teach them my law, teach them my words when you sit down to eat, when you get up, and then they're sacrificing their children to idols. I mean, it's like, it's total. It's just like, this is what I have you to, and he just looks right down in their hearts and sees how far away they are. So don't worry about, you know, you look at the Old Testament and you look at the law and think, well, this system was a perfect system. It wasn't about his God asked them to do something, and he's looking at their hearts to see if they're going to be obedient. They have to trust the Lord, just like we trust the Lord. Jews today saved just the way we are back then, same thing, had faith in God. Abraham, the Bible says he had faith towards God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. So Christ imputed that righteousness to him. It's in Romans chapter 4. Imputed is gifted, it's given, it's put to the account of somebody. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't merit it. And if I had to witness to the top of the Mormon order tonight, I'd take Romans 4 and I'd start there. I said, look, you tell me what imputed means and I'll go farther. It's given, it's not earned, can't be bought. It's not me climbing a ladder and God climbing down and picking me up and pulling me up the rest of the way. It's not me doing the best and God doing the rest. It's all these sayings. It's not that. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing I've ever done. Not a thing. Verse number 19. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as without an oath he was made a priest.
For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. It's in, we don't have time to turn to it tonight, but Psalm 110, verse number 4, says, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Right there tells you who we're talking about here. A better testament. Abraham was blessed of the better, verse 7 says. 22 says a better testament. And we'll see in verse number 6 of 8, there was a better covenant in verse 6 of 8, a better promises. This word better is seen in Hebrews often. Verse 23 says, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Why did they have to have so many? Because they were just men, right? And we had the children of Israel just continued on and on and on. They said, you had to have another one, had to have another one, had to have another one. That's why it was set up to, it had to come from men. God picked a tribe. Could he have picked Gad? Could he have picked Reuben? He could have picked whoever he wanted to. He's God. He's the one that sets the rules up. But he picked from the tribe of Levi. But 23 says there were many because they were men. They were going to live. They were going to die. 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to pretend to be the high priest and I'm going to. No, he always was. he was the Word. It was, from verse 1 and before verse 1 of Genesis 1, he was all these things. He was never made better. He never improved. He never did anything. He just fulfilled the things that were set up. The Bible says, slain before the foundation of the world. It was all set up. And don't go home and think about the before, because you just hurt your head. I hurt my head. I think about what was it like before all this stuff and before God said, let there be. What were they doing? And all of a sudden your head just hurts, right? We're just not built to think about those things. You could try. The Bible says, but he continueth ever. And I just wrote in there, Jesus lives. The men die, but Jesus never does. Wherefore, he's able also to save them, verse 25 says, to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, by Christ. We come to the Father through the Son. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It's one of the priest's jobs, right? He's going to pray and make intercession. And that never goes away. If we didn't have an intercessor, we'd be in trouble with the Father. We would be. It'd be bad. The Bible says we have an advocate. John 17 says, I pray for them, and not for them only, talking about the disciples, but them that hear on their word what he's taught them. I pray for them. I make intercession. You ever think you're by yourself? Go open the Word of God and look in there. God's praying for you. He thinks about you more than you think about yourself. No matter how selfish somebody was, God said, I think about you more than you think about yourself. I care about you more than you care about yourself. Hearing testimonies today, young people committing suicide, can't go back to school. Listen, a little girl cry and cry and cry today because in California, said, you're going to get to go to school. And California's like, not even for like another month, I think, maybe. Governor's afraid of being recalled. Got to do something. Abbott said, throw the chains off. Take the masks off. President of the United States said, Neanderthals. Call them Neanderthals today. One gentleman says, I'm glad you can remember the word Neanderthal. That's pretty good. He said, President might be making strides. I kid you not. He sat there. He may have had two masks on. Somebody's saying in Virginia it's good to have wet masks. So I don't know what that's all about. But it just sounds like waterboarding to me. It's a little bit scary. But anyhow, maybe in a year from now, things will be back to normal. Vice President, we've all paid a price. These people are living reckless. 108 people tested positive, people that crossed the border illegally, and they turned them loose this week. Yeah, yeah. And we saw the 28 people in the SUV that hit the gravel truck, drove through an 8-foot hole in the fence. What are we doing? Got Democrats in Texas pulling their hair out. A president, please stop. Please stop these people. Unbelievable. Right? What a mess. But anyways, intercessor. somebody that prays for us, somebody that thinks about us, somebody that cares about us. When we don't care about ourselves, we don't care about, he has a kingdom coming. I love our country, but I praise God for a kingdom that's coming. Verse 26 says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He's not one of the sinners, which all the priests of Levi. Been listening to an audio book Mark Levin wrote called Men in Black. It's just about Supreme Court justices. And it's crazy how many of them lost their minds. The early ones, there used to only be like one at a time or two at a time. It's got a borderline criminals. It's terrible. Oh, man. It's like, wow. The history is impressive. I think somehow because they get nominated by a man and they pass and they're pointed out that they're somehow more than men. We'll just put it that way, more than men. Called to serve for a lifetime and to run our country, essentially. I mean, I don't know why we have a Senate, and I don't know why we have a House of Representatives. I don't even know why we have a President of the United States, because we got 9 people that sit in a room that we never see, and they're the ones that decide yes or no. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Wasn't supposed to be like that. Was not supposed to be like that. They're supposed to listen to us, not us. We hope somebody gets appointed that thinks like us. It was never supposed to be like that. Say, well, what are you talking about? Say, this is the example. They're the sinners just like us. They're not above. They're just like us. And that's the difference. This order of Melchizedek is a different priesthood than the other priesthood. Didn't have to. Bible says in verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. Not the Lord Jesus, but those Levitical priests. And then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. Verse 28, we're done. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. I don't know why they stopped here. I'd have gone just a little further. We'll read verse 1 of chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Sum is an evil math words, you know. Addition, right? Sum, what, that means not none, right? No, we're adding them all up. We add everything up here. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Well, son of Levi was mine. Well, he's dead. He's dead. Well, I don't believe in this Bible. I believe in the original script. Yeah. Pack one of them around. That'd be pretty cool, right? Pack around, right? It's gone, right? But our word forever is settled in heaven, the Bible says, and he is there. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Do pray that you'd help us as we continue next week, Lord, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so much better than the things that sometimes we think of that we think are good, and we see you fulfill all things. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for, as we saw tonight, Lord, this intercession that you make for us, that you see us down here wallowing in the mire. And Father, you love us. And you are separate from sinners. You're not one of them. We love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. Pray that you bless our prayer time tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.